Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's message is from that gospel lesson we read just a few moments ago, especially verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Dear friends in Christ, I'll be home for Christmas. You ever hear those words? You always think back to the movie and Bing Crosby singing the song, right? It's one of those things. It's him crooning away, "I'll be home for Christmas." It's part of the delight of Christmas, right? The kids are back from college. I know that's true in my house. Maybe a reprieve from all of the business travels lets you be home for a little while. The overstretched schedule of sports practice, music lessons, social engagements, all of a sudden it's empty, and you have time to just kind of sit back and relax, unless you're a pastor or a retail worker. You know, it's not just you. The whole family gets to feel like they're home for Christmas. And as much joy as that brings, of course it gets better, because really, let's face it, how long is the tranquility really going to last? I mean, it's only a matter of time before arguments start to erupt between siblings that are home. And at some point, you know, the holiday tradition, that holiday tradition that you wish would die, comes to life once again. Comments about somebody else's clothing or what they're wearing or what they're doing in their lives. The rolling eyes when a certain family member walks into the room. You see, the thing is being home really means you need to have a lot of grace to forgive. We have to have grace in forgiveness of one another. And the fact of the matter is grace is yours and mine because somebody else has made His home among us. God has actually pitched His tent with us so that we can now behold His grace. Today we rejoice because the Word has become flesh so that He dwells among us. It's just the thing to hear today on Christmas Day. The Word, that is, the eternal divine Son of God, has become flesh and bone. He's taken on a human nature, flesh and blood, in the womb of Mary, and has been born in the flesh. And that's why we celebrate today. But there's more to this verse, more reason to celebrate than is revealed by the more reason to celebrate, it's actually revealed by a more precise translation. It's the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. The word tabernacle is kind of interesting. The incarnate Word of Christ tabernacles among us. God Himself. The tabernacle is something from the Old Testament. I don't know if you recall this. It's a tent that was designed by God Himself to be with the people of Israel. And they would travel, as they traveled from one place to another, the tent, the tabernacle went with them. This tent went with them. The tabernacle was an awesome place because it's there that God decided His presence would rest, that He would be present with His people there in the tabernacle. It was so holy that the high priest only got to be in the presence of the Holy of Holies once a year to ask for forgiveness for the sins of the whole people of Israel. That day was the Day of Atonement. The tabernacle, this tent, would actually be God's presence among His people for about 1,000 years. I mean, it was, I'm sorry, 500 years before a permanent place, the Temple of Solomon, was built 500 years later. And it was the exact same design, but it was a permanent spot rather than a tent. So what we have here is that Jesus tabernacles among us. He lives with us. His presence, the presence of Almighty God, is with us. Everything that God had promised about the tabernacle stands fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So there's no more need for a tabernacle or a temple. Jesus is where it's at. And that's saying a lot. The tabernacle back in those days was a place of awe and wonder. God was present in the tabernacle because it was there that you beheld his glory. It was a cloud that rested on in the innermost part of the temple, or of the tabernacle, the most holy place. And while the most holy place wasn't entered by anyone other than the high priest once a year, as I said before, the glory of the Lord went out of the top of the tent into the sky. Isn't that amazing? That God was present with his people in such a visible way. It could be seen by everybody, no matter where they were situated. And now all of that awe is bound up in Jesus. Because the Word became flesh and tabernacled amongst us. He's born. He appears just like any other child. But you can still marvel at him. In this man, the eternal God dwells. This child who's lying in his mother's arms is the one who created the whole universe. He even created the arms that are holding him. Marvel at the majesty of that. How great is our God that he can humble himself so much to be born of Mary, yet remain the source of all things. And for the same reason that the tabernacle inspired awe, it also inspired fear. I mean, the glory of the Lord that could be seen coming out of the tabernacle is the same glory that the people of Israel had seen there on Mount Sinai when the Lord descended to speak to Moses. It looked like the mountain was on fire. And a boundary was actually set around that mountain so that no person or animal would step into or around that, across that boundary, lest they die. And that same fear ought to be ours in many ways, as the Word tabernacles amongst us. You see, it's no small thing to be in the presence of God. The most holy place was the precise location of God's presence in the tabernacle. That one day of the year when the high priest entered it was only after specific sacrifices had been made in order to cleanse him. To walk into the most holy place outside of that protocol would actually mean death. Sinners don't just waltz into the presence of the Almighty God or of the Holy God. And that hasn't changed. Don't be fooled by Christ's humility. Yeah, he comes as a baby, but he is still the Holy God. He is the creator of all things. Notice what it said there in John chapter 1. All things were made through him, verse 3. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He is the creator of all things. An honest assessment of my sin, and I'm sure if you were to be honest with you, with yourself, all of our sin, kind of leaves us shuddering in fear when you think about approaching the one in whom we behold of the glory of God. Yet, there's a reason that the faithful kept coming to the tabernacle. Absolutely, it's an awe-inspiring place as we behold the glory of God. Yes, it's fearful to know that we can't hide our sin or explain it away as we behold the glory of the Lord. But we also have his word and his promises. The Lord actually commanded Moses and the people of Israel to construct this tabernacle. And he told them why. He promised that this was where he would dwell among them. Dwell among us, his people, with grace. Because that's really the key here. See, God wants to dwell with his people. But he also knows that his people are sinful human beings. And they can't live to tell if they behold his full holiness. So he puts on a mask so that he might be truly present with his people. And yet they would still be able to live. And that's grace. And that's his tabernacle. And it's all bound up in Jesus. Not that Jesus is a mask. Jesus is the Holy God. The Holy and precious God. Here in this child born of Mary is actually God dwelling among his people with grace. He's not going to be apart from you. So he puts on his flesh kind of like a mask. He humbles himself to become human. Only God could do that. We can't become God, so God became us. We can't become holy, so God becomes one of us to dwell with us. And that's grace. All of that grace is in Jesus, and it explains why he took on a human nature. Grace comes at a price, one that, of course, you and I can't pay. So Jesus pays that price. The glory of God is going to be revealed in all of its fullness there on the cross. That's the glory of God. When God himself dies on the cross for us. You want to talk about grace? God loved us so much that he died for us. That Jesus dies in our place for our sins so that we could be forgiven. That's grace. God coming to save you and me. And he continues to do that over and over again. That night that he was betrayed, Jesus actually prays, "The hour has come. Glorify your Son." Glory is shown on the cross. And with unending grace, we now have just the place to dwell in the tabernacle in Jesus himself. His presence, his glory, and grace is no less available to us today than it was when he was lying there in Mary's arms. He still wears a mask today so that he can dwell with you and me. His glory was manifest to us in our baptism. A glory that remains with you and me. His glory is always present with us in his word, in Holy Scripture. And his glory is present with us today in, with, and under the bread and wine in Holy Communion. Right here, he comes to us with that same body and blood that Mary held in her arms. The same body and blood that rose from the dead. The same body and blood that will come again for us on that last day. The same body and blood in which we behold his glory. The glory of the one and only from the Father. Full of grace and truth. You see, Jesus tabernacles with you and me. So welcome home. We are home right here because it's right here that Christ is present with us. Through his word, through holy baptism, through his holy supper. That means that God is at home with us because of Christ. God's own Son is born a child. God the Father is reconciled. The Kempis Carol has kind of been the theme for our midweek Advent services. So he's born a child. Today we add to that hymn, which is part of the Kempis Carol, to our King, God ever reigning, raise your hymns of homage high. Raise them high because they found the wonder child in lowly swaddling clothes lying, yet all the world with his free grace supplying. Christ has come to us, born of us, giving grace, peace, and salvation to us. In his name, amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior.